Blog Talk Radio.
Mind Shift Radio.
Gentlemen, welcome to another edition of Mind Shift Talk Radio. I'm your host, Stacey Emery, joined by my phenomenal co-host, partner in success, Juanita's sister, Big Bones Warren, and we want to say welcome to Mind Shift Talk Radio. Always excited to be here, always excited for Mind Shift Monday, and definitely want to welcome all of you that are listening into the live show, as well as those of you that will be joining us in the chat room. If you're online, feel free to join us in the conversation at mindshifttalkradio.com. The chat room will be opening for you shortly. Also, for those of you that are listening by phone, if you have any questions, you are definitely going to want to ask your question tonight because we have an expert that's going to be joining us to help you turn your dreams into a reality. And so we encourage you to call in, ask your questions at area code 347-989-0206. But again, welcome to Mind Shift Talk Radio. For those of you that are new to the show, Mind Shift Talk Radio is a show for you. It's for individuals that are looking to grow and be successful in every area of their lives, whether it's financially, whether it's spiritually, whether it's your personal development, whether it's your relationships, whatever it may be, any area of your life in which you need to have a mind shift, that's what this show is about. So we applaud you and we commend you for being so diligent about your own personal growth and development. So without any further ado, I'm going to introduce you to my partner and let her go ahead and say hello to everyone out there in Mind Shift world. So welcome to the show, Sister Big Bones.
Thank you, thank you. Happy Magnificent Mind Shifting Monday.
Yes, happy Mind Shifting Monday to you too.
Huh. Thank you. I said Mamacita. I was keeping with the alliteration there.
Oh, yeah, you know, I've got to do Mamacita. And then I'm trying to come up with some new ones as well. You know, I do Mamacita Please. And Chica and Girly. And, you know, my friends have me talking like that. So I'm working on some new ones. I'm going to have some new lingo by the second half of the year. But, yeah, I'm excited about tonight's show. But before we go on to tonight's show, you know, we always have to do the recap of the previous week, right?
Right.
Yeah. We had a great guest that joined us last week, and it was really all about the personal development. And I love the show every week because it's been really balanced. Like, we've gone through these different stages and had these different segments about specific topics, but now we're getting back to how Mind Shift originally started. You know, when we first started Mind Shift, we really focused heavily on personal development, and then we went more into business development, and then we've talked about the spirituality piece, and we talked about the finances. And it seems like we're coming around full circle again with that. And what better time to do that considering the fact, you know, looking at the calendar, July is a very special month for me personally in terms of Mind Shift, because this month marks the 2-year anniversary of Mind Shift Talk Radio. So, yes, you know. So, you know, I'm super excited in the month of July. And so, you know, just really thankful for the success of the show, but more so for the following and the support that we received. And then also just the amazing and phenomenal guests that have been on the show. If you guys are online, I mean, I would definitely encourage you to go to the website, to mindshifttalkradio.com, and look at the lineup of phenomenal, I mean, just powerhouses that have been on this show over the last 2 years. I mean, we've had, you know, our guest that's joining us tonight, she's been here and graced the stage before. We've had Chris Gloss. We've had Doc Cheney, you know, the Bo Bedouins, Paul Wilson Jr., Eddie Connors, Billy Miller, Dr. Io, Juanita Sister Big Bones, Tawana Williams. I mean, oh, my gosh, Adrian Bilbro. I mean, the list just goes on and on. Mark Anthony McRae and Lakia and just, I couldn't even name everyone. April Mason, it's just too many. So I'm going to stop naming people because then someone's like, you forgot about me. Yeah. So, but there's just been so many amazing people, and so I'm really thankful for the support and for those of you that listen every single week, for those of you that comment on our Facebook page, for those of you that send us the emails and send us the private inbox messages to encourage us to continue to move forward. It has definitely been a blessing. So thank you, and congrats to all of you that listen to the show as well. So, but back to what we were talking about. See, it went off on the spiel right there. But last week's guest, why don't you tell them a little bit about what we heard last week, a little recap of last week's show.
We had just a phenomenal, always seems like we maybe use it too much, but I can't think of a better word to describe Ryan. We had Ryan Lowe, who was just a really great speaker, and he was talking about the subject of get off your attitude and how the power of your attitude and how to make your attitude a positive one, even when you're in negative situations. And like you were saying, for me, so often the shows, I understand, are not about me, but minister to me right where I am. That each and every show meets me where I am and helps take me to where I need to be if I apply the principles that are shared throughout the show. And so his was really on time in terms of just helping you where you are to, regardless of the situation and the circumstance, you know, to talk the right talk and to do the right things and to think the right thoughts. In order for you to be successful, both personally and professionally.
Definitely. I agree. And again, just like, you know, we've been hearing week after week from the different guests that have been joining us, is just as they tell their story and they're so very transparent about the thing that they've gone through and the experiences and the challenges that they've had to overcome, you know, I think we find strength in that, right? It's empowering to hear the from-to story, as we like to call it, where they came from, you know, to where they are now and to where they're going. So definitely it was awesome just to hear his story and his testimony and then just look at how, you know, all the time, you know, every week on the show we're talking about the mind shift. We're talking about the mind shift and the paradigm shift and how we have to look at things differently and how we have to change our perspectives and so forth. But his story was a perfect example of it. You know, it was evidence that if we just change our attitude and we change our mindset and we change our thought process or improve our thought process, that we improve our circumstances and our experiences. And so definitely encourage you guys to go back, check out the replay. Ryan C. Lowe, again, awesome. You can also find him online. His website is getoffyourattitude.com. He has great videos on YouTube. You can even sign up for his newsletter. He shares inspirational messages every week on his newsletter, and he speaks in different areas throughout the country. So you definitely want to go ahead and sign up and get connected with him as well. And then also we encourage you to connect with us every week. We're here every Monday night, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Pacific at mindshifttalkradio.com. You can also find us at Facebook. For all of our social network junkies, we're on Facebook, facebook.com/MindShiftTalkRadio. You can even find us on Twitter at Mindshift Radio. But we encourage you to be connected with us. Hit the follow link there on the Mindshift Talk Radio page and Blog Talk and stay connected with us every week. And we'd love to hear your thoughts, your comments, you know, questions, concerns, whatever they may be. You can send us an email at mindshifttalkradio@gmail.com. So that is it. Again, thank you for tuning in. Make sure you check out the replay. But we are going to continue with the mind shift, and we have a great show lined up for you guys tonight.
Yeah.
This is a great show. And this is just, I mean, the guest is just an awesome and phenomenal woman, to say the least. Love her to death, and she is a rock star in her field. She's an expert in her own right. And she's been here before, so it's great to have her here again to bless us with her wisdom and her insight and her knowledge. And we've been talking about this. We've been promoting the show all weekend, and I think this is one that you definitely want to have a pen and a piece of paper for, and you're going to want to make sure that you're going back and listening to the show again, because she's going to share a wealth of information. And when I say wealth, I mean a wealth of information, and she's definitely going to bless you guys. For those of you that have these dreams, are aspiring to start a business, or maybe you've already started your business, ran into some challenges, or you're just looking to see how you can take your business to the next level, this show is for you. So tonight our guest is going to be Ms. Sherry Darden. also known as the Business Plan Lady. And Sherry is an expert, as I said. You know, she is your small business resource. She spent over the last 9 years providing small business like startup and business plan workshops. She travels around the country, and she's educating people throughout the country. She's a business coach. She helps her clients to make improvements and changes to improve their performance. We all want to maximize profit and productivity, and she teaches you how to do that. And so tonight you'll be able to ask your questions. You'll be able to call in. You'll be able to join us in the chat room and get the information you need to turn your dream into a reality. So without any further ado, I want to introduce you to tonight's guest, Ms. Sherry Darden. Sherry, welcome back to Mindshift Talk Radio.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I'm actually a little afraid now with all those accolades. I've got to fill some shoes here. So.
It's all you. It's all you. I'm so excited to have you here. Thank you so much for joining us.
No problem. I am actually really excited to be here. I was just explaining to you ladies that I'm actually in Fargo, North Dakota, and it's just the epitome of, and if you guys see my picture, you know, I kind of stand out here a little bit. But this is just the epitome, antithesis, the perfect picture of the color of money is green no matter who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter who you know. And just to be a smart business owner is you go where the demand is. Not necessarily where you want to go, because we were talking about I trade her for North Carolina right now, but to be honest with you, this is where the need is, and so that's where as a business owner, it, you know, needs to know is that's where you need to go. And so what I'd like to do today, and I know, Stacey, you've got some questions for me, and it's kind of funny, the last time you and I had a conversation, I immediately went into coach mode. And I was like, we need to check this out. And I said, oh, my God, we're supposed to have a friendly chat. Here goes the business coach in me. So, so you know, I want you to throw any questions at me. If anybody has in the chat room or wants to chime in, please send your questions to me, because what I'm going to do is I'm going to cover some of the biggest questions that people have in starting their business or still in the starting phases. And some of the things that I'm going to explain to you and share with you are also some mistakes that I made. One of the great things that I do with my clients is I am very transparent. And a lot of times I will say, I've been there, done that, got the T-shirt, so let me save you the time, money, and effort. I've tried it. It didn't work. So it's not about me trying to always be right. It's about let me just save you the headache and do it the right way. Because I always say work smarter, not harder. And so I know that we've got some listeners on the call today that are probably at different levels of starting their business, whether it's just a thought in the back of their mind. I always say we're already halfway through our year of 2012, so it is time to get that business started already. Or maybe you've just registered the business name and you haven't done anything with it. Now is the time. When I do my workshops and I'm offering resources to my participants, they go, well, yeah, you know, maybe next week. And I always say to them, if not now, then when?
Mm-hmm.
If not now, then when? So now is the time to get started. And from the survey that I sent out, I got a varied amount of responses there as far as the name. So I got some explanations about choosing a business name. I'm going to start with some really, really basic stuff, and then we'll get into some more detailed stuff, because I'm always a firm believer in creating a firm foundation. And one is a business name. I started my first corporation, actually my brother did for me back in 1999, and I was kind of rushed, and I said, well, let me just get something going here. My last name is Darden, and I wanted Darden Company, and that was already taken. I'm going to talk about, you know, you can't infringe upon somebody else's name. It is kind of a first come, first serve. And came in, I started throwing all these names around, and one of the things that I found, Stacey, was the biggest mistake is when I set the business name, the next question was, well, what does your business do? And so when I got that question mark all the time, I'm spending most of my time and I'm spending my marketing effort to make my potential clients aware of what I do. And there's nothing wrong with it because, you know, when they started Nike, Nike had nothing to do with tennis shoes at that point in time. You didn't associate that name with tennis shoes or athletic wear. You do now. You know, mm-hmm. Same thing. Walmart, you know, those kinds of things. So just kind of think about what is it that you want your business to do. And the great thing, Stacey, is, you know, we live in America and we can name it anything that we want it to. Within 11 months this was several years ago, I lost my mom and I lost my brother. And so I was really big into the family. And I thought, let me just start this great new business that goes back two generations on my mother's side and two generations on my dad's side. I was really happy. I came up with my logo, and I'm sharing all this with you. Oh, I've got this great name. And I come up with the name, and everybody said to me, 9 times out of 10, sounds like a law firm. That's not what I do. And I didn't want to spend my time trying to explain, well, it's because I lost my mom, I lost my brother, and da-da-da. You kind of lose the validity, if you will. It kind of dilutes your image, if you will. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it, but just know that if you're getting that question mark from a lot of people, you may either need to maybe rethink the name and maybe add something to it that says and reflects what you want to offer, or just be ready to spend some dollars and spend some time in explaining what that business name means. So that's one of the biggest suggestions that I could give people on the name, because, you know, we live in a shrinking world, and our customer base is worldwide. And so when you also to think about a name or you think about a logo, you want to make sure that it's not offensive to anyone, because we've had some big businesses kind of flop on a lot of things just because the name got lost in translation. So you want to make sure that if you're trying to cross cultural borders or trying to cross geographical borders, it is something that doesn't get lost in translation or doesn't potentially offend anybody. So that's something to think about too. And the last thing I want to say about the business name is make sure that it doesn't infringe upon somebody else's name. One of my all-time favorite movies was Coming to America. And if you remember, Eddie Murphy started working for a family that had this fast food place. It was called McDowell's. And it was all a joke of, somebody's here to see you. He's like, it's not those lawyers, is it? Well, it was kind of a joke because he kind of infringed upon McDonald's. You know, it was McDowell's versus McDonald's. It was the Big Mick instead of the Big Mac. You want to make sure, you know, that you don't spend a lot of time, money, and effort, because you could get a cease and desist. I worked with a young lady who wanted to sell fragrances, wanted to sell perfume. And she wanted to call it Chanel. And she changed the word, the spelling of it, but she wanted to name it Chanel. She got a cease and desist from Chanel saying, you cannot use that name no matter what the spelling is. So you also, too, want to be kind of aware of that so that you're not spending a lot of time, money, and effort and then have to start all over again. So that would be the biggest thing that I want to say about choosing your business name and starting that firm foundation of that, getting that business started. Mm-hmm. When you do that, when you've decided on your name, the next thing that you want to do is make sure you register it. It's wonderful to have that name, but go out and register it. If nothing else, you want to register it with your county, the county that you're going to be operating your business out of. So, you know, if you're in the Atlanta area, if in DeKalb County or Cobb County or whatever the county is, you want to make sure that you register that so that all of this time, money, and effort that you're starting your business on, someone else doesn't come in and infringe upon the hard work and the branding that you've done. So the best thing you can do is go ahead and get that business name registered. It's going to vary across the country, probably $25 or less, and it gets you that name for at least 10 years. So it's going to vary from region to region. So I want to make sure that everybody does that before they go out and get domain names and logos and business cards and all that good stuff, because that kind of goes into branding. Once you choose your name and all that good stuff, you want to make sure that you begin to brand. And one of the biggest mistakes that I made, Stacey, was if it was cheap or it was free, I did it.
Okay.
Hey, no. Vistaprint, you know, Vistaprint has wonderful cards and all that good stuff. Things are really cute and all that good stuff. But what can confuse a person is, with all of the networking that I do and workshops that I do around the Dallas-Fort Worth area, I will meet people various times. And I may not necessarily recall their name, but I could, or their face, but I can recall the business name. But then I get confused and go, but you know what, I think I saw that name, and this was a daycare, and the last business card I had little baby handprints. And now this one looks like it's got teddy bears on it. And so I'll go back through my business cards, and I will see different types of cards because it's free or it's cheap or it's cute, and you begin to confuse people. Because before kids can talk, if they see the golden arches, they know it's McDonald's. They know it, but it goes into the consistent branding. So just want to make sure that, that's also something that you think about when you start your business. What I'd like to do, I've got a couple of other things that I want to discuss on starting that firm foundation, but did you want to go out and check in the chat room or anything to make sure that I'm not infringing upon some really good questions that I want to make sure that I answer for everybody? So if you want to do that, or I can go ahead and continue, just whatever's comfortable for you.
No, it looks like Sister Big Bones is taking questions in the chat room. Sister, what do you have?
And I you may get to it, but it's more on for an existing business. So I'll ask you when you get to talk to me. You want me to go ahead?
Yeah, please do. Please do.
All right. The question is, how do you develop systems and processes for an existing business that has grown past expectancy and bring your employees up to par seamlessly?
Okay. Oxymoron. Bring them up to par seamlessly. You're going to have some adjustments, and that's a really good question. It's a little broad for me to make sure that I'm getting it explained correctly. One of the things that I want you to do is, if you're going through, it sounds like you're going through growing pain. And when I work with businesses who are either starting out or are going through that next step of maybe hiring employees or going through different processes, I'm going to have you do an exercise, and this may be something you've already done, and this is for startups or people who are in business. And one is create processes. You have to create processes. I used to work for Marriott. That was the first job I had out of college. And when I began to work for them, they gave me an operations manual. It was a standard operations manual, and it looked like the War and Peace five times over. And I was like, this is overkill. But what was wonderful about that was, no matter what position or what task you had to do in that hotel, there was a procedure made for it so that everybody was on the same board. So if my accounts payable person didn't show up that day or quit, I could step in and do it, or somebody else could step in and do it, because they would open up to that page and it would be step one, go get the mail. Step two, sort the mail. And it would go by, and if it was to attention to the director of food and beverage, open it up. If it went to a supervisor, don't open it up. I mean, it went through step by step by step. And so here's what I want you to do. I know this is going to sound silly, but it truly, truly works. I want you to sit down and create a process for one or two things. And this is going to be real simple, but it'll help you with this. I want you to create a process for a person who has never brushed their teeth before. I know this sounds silly, but you're going to be writing out procedures for someone who has never brushed their teeth before ever in their life. And as you begin to go through that, and once you go through it, you may have 10 steps, you may have 35. Then I want you to go and either find an employee, find a friend, and have them stand up and face you. And you want them to do only what you tell them to do, what's on your paper. And what you're going to find is, you're going to assume that they already knew the next step. And that's going to help you with processes so that all of your employees, all of your workers, and let me just say workers, whether it's an employee or an independent contractor, is on the same page. That's one of the things that Ray Kroc did, who, you know, created McDonald's, was process, process, process. So whether you went to a McDonald's in New York, you went to a McDonald's in Atlanta, North Carolina, North Dakota, the process, excuse me, was all the same. So when you were able to bring new people on, the learning curve or creative license to do what they wanted is a little less. So you've got some quality control, if you will. The other, if you don't want to do the brushing of your teeth, you can do how to make coffee. You know, and it's just as simple as you may want to start off with, you know, buy a can of Folgers. Get a can opener, open it up, measure, all of those good things, so you have made sure that you haven't forgotten any processes. It helps you with timelines to be realistic about how long things take. It will also help you with the cost of things. So I really urge you, I know it really sounds silly, but I've been doing this exercise with my clients for about 10 years, and it just opens up everybody's eyes every time they do that. So do your process of brushing your teeth or making a pot of coffee. Have someone do exactly what you tell them to do, and where you've got some misinterpretations or you've left some things, that will kind of help you know where maybe the communication is not necessarily where it is. Once you kind of get that mindset in there, then you can go to each one of those positions and create that process so that it does become a little more seamless, if you will. It won't always be seamless because you're dealing with humans, but it'll make the process a lot more automated and a lot easier for you in the future. So I really hope that helps.
I'm sure they'll ask more questions if it doesn't. Thank you so much, Sherry.
Okay, you're welcome. You're welcome.
Thanks, Sherry. And ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Mind Shift Talk Radio with Stacey Emery and Juanita's sister, Big Bones Warren. Tonight we are joined by the business plan lady, master business specialist herself, Ms. Sherry Darden, and she's answering your questions about how to get your business started as well as how to expand your current business. So feel free to give us a call at area code 347-989-0206. Also, you can ask your questions for free in the chat room at mindshifttalkradio.com. And, Sherry, I know you have some other questions you want to answer. If you don't mind, I wanted to see if maybe we can go to the phone lines. It looks like we have a couple of callers in the queue. We could probably take one of those.
Okay.
So let's see. We've got someone from the 813 area code. So caller from the 813 area code. You're live on the air. Welcome to Mindshift Talk Radio.
Hey, how are y'all doing?
Fantastic. Who do we have on the line?
Excuse me?
Who do we have on the line? Who's joining us?
My name is Dave. And,
hey, Dave.
Hey, how you doing? I have a question. Is there anywhere I can go on a website or anywhere to do a business plan?
Oh, really good question. Yes, there is. Here's what I am going to suggest that you start. Do you know what kind of business? Do you have a business in mind at this point?
Yes, ma'am, I do. I'm thinking about opening up a seafood restaurant.
Okay.
Just food, shrimp, and things like that.
Okay, there is a website. Here's what I'm going to suggest that you do before you actually put pen to the paper. There is a website called bplans.com. That's B as in boy, P-L-A-N-S, bplans.com. And
okay.
This is a website that was created by one of the most popular business plan software. It's kind of like the QuickBooks of business plan software. It's called Business Plan Pro. On that website, bplans.com, you will probably find maybe anywhere between 300 to 400 different business plan samples. And you will find restaurants, and you want to find one and kind of hunt and pick through there. And you'll probably find one that will be as close to what your vision is. This will get you started. It will show you what goes in an executive summary, marketing plan. It will probably alert you to more things that you had not thought about that goes into a business or into a business plan. So it's a great way to get started on getting your feet wet as to what goes into a business plan, what should be mentioned into a business plan, and the format. It'll also have some sample financial statement forecast, because that's going to be the biggest thing, especially if you're going to be going to a bank for financing. Your business plan is your way to let a financier know, whether it's private or it's going to be a banking institution, what you plan on doing with that money, because we all have the same reaction. When we've got a friend or family member that comes to you and asks you for $10, what's the first thing you ask them?
What you need it for?
When you going to pay it back?
What do you want? But our first question is, what do you want it for? Because based upon the answer is going to be your way of going through saying, well, am I going to get this money back or am I likely not to get it back? If I told you that I needed $10 because I'm in North Dakota and they have gambling, they've got casinos here. So you know what? I feel it in my bones. I opened up a can of SpaghettiOs today. And when I poured it out into the bowl, it said, play the lottery. So I feel it in my bones. I'm going to win something. So will you give me 10 bucks and I'll pay you back when I hit the jackpot? You're probably going to tell me no, because the likelihood of what I'm doing with that money is not going to probably be a guaranteed return on investment. But if I tell you I need that $10 so that I can put gas in my tank so that I can get to work to pick up my paycheck and keep my job, you're going to say, okay, the likelihood if I give her $10, she's going to make that $10 back by going to work and working 8 hours. Kind of
right.
The same scenario. Yes, it's going to be that same scenario. So that business plan is going to be a great catalyst to be your mouthpiece. So if you go to bplans.com and look through the sample plans, and they actually have them categorized by industry, I think that'll be a great place for you to get started on that.
Okay. Now, I have one more question. Is it okay if I ask the question?
Sure. Uh-huh.
Oh, okay. I'm disabled. I was thinking about going through vocational rehabilitation, and they will help you to open your business up. But they want to see if you have They want to see if you have people who can cover different type of things. The question I'm trying to ask is, how many people do I need?
Okay, I didn't quite understand your question. You said they want to see how many people you have to do what?
They want a list of people in case you can't make it to work. If you're sick, if you're not feeling well, they want to know who's going to step in, who's going to be able to cover that shift. My question is, how many people do I need to have lined up? Because I'm a person who always has a backup for a backup. So I'm asking, how many people do you think is good for me to have?
Correct answer. Just what you said. You need to have backup for your backup. And that goes when you have a list of suppliers, one of the things that they look at is your list of suppliers. And keep in mind, your suppliers are going to include people, and your suppliers are going to include your suppliers. Where are you getting your seafood from? Where are you getting your cups from? Where are you getting your cooking oil? Where are you getting your garlic from? Because, and especially with food and beverage, you really only have one shot to make that customer happy. You blow it, they're not coming back. They don't care that your supplier that you had, that you've used for 15 years, got affected by Hurricane Katrina. You know, I live in the Dallas, Texas area, and so we got a lot of transplants from the New Orleans area. And one of the things that they kept saying is, you know, it only took about a week that people got tired of hearing, well, you know, we had the hurricane and my supplier was there, we don't have it. They're going to go, yes, that's nice, but I still need my seafood, I still need my wedding cake, I still need my dress. So at least two backups would be I would say your bare minimum, two backups.
Okay.
Yes.
Good question.
Great question.
Thank you all for answering my questions, and I will see you all. Well, I will listen to you all again.
Thank you so much, Dave. Good luck with your new business.
Yes,
yeah.
Ma'am. You all have a good day.
You too.
Good night.
All right. Bye bye.
Thanks, Sherry. Okay, well, we'll let you go ahead and move forward with some other stuff that you had, Sherry.
Okay, I'm looking at, if you don't mind, I'm looking at Felicia, and she's saying, what type of funding is available for those who would like to start a not-for-profit? Felicia, what I'm going to say to you is, and this is just a rhetorical question I want you to really think about as far as a nonprofit. I want you, and anybody else who's thinking about a nonprofit, is think about why you want to start that nonprofit. A lot of times people will want to, and not saying this about you, Felicia, is they'll want to start a nonprofit because they think that will make, quote-unquote, grants more available to them. Mm-hmm. I want you to keep in mind the only difference between a not-for-profit and a for-profit business is what they do with the money. Even as a non-for-profit or nonprofit or not-for-profit business, you still have to make money. You will not just get donations to go out and do things. You will get donations so that you can make more money to go out and help other people. So when you think about United Way or you think about the Salvation Army, those types of things, that's why they have stores. That's why they have fundraisers, that kind of thing. So when you get donations or you get grants, it's seed money, if you will. The places to get that, I'm going to say to you that you will have to start your own seed money to start a nonprofit. There are lots of large corporations that will donate to an existing nonprofit. So getting it incorporated, all that good stuff is going to have to come from the people that are going to be on the board. There's not a whole lot of way around that. I know that Walmart, once you are an established, which means you've gotten your 501c3 from the IRS, actually will give you seed money of $1,000. Places like, it's not Office Depot, Staples, especially if you're a female-owned business, has a tender heart for that. But you have to actually be a nonprofit business before they will do that. So I just wanted to kind of give you kind of a heads up on that. So I hope that will help you in that area. Some other questions that I got from getting the questionnaire answered were, are there any grants for small business startups? I hate to burst your bubble on that. If you're talking about just a normal for-profit, either a home-based business or a small business, there aren't a whole lot out there. There are things that may not necessarily come necessarily in the form of a grant that we may think. Check with whatever area that you live in. They're called CDCs, and that stands for Community Development Corporation. And they do get a certain amount of what we call set-aside money for small businesses, but here's what they usually stipulate. It needs to be what we call a brick-and-mortar store, which means you're going to actually have a storefront. And so what they will normally do is if you will go into certain areas of the city, they will actually give you money for rent or rent abatement or money to hire employees. Because really what they're doing is they want you to establish a small business that will positively affect that community, which means you're going to raise revenue or you are going to hire employees. So there are certain things that are out there that are like that for small businesses. But other than just giving just free money out there just to start a business, there. Okay. Can you guys still hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I was hearing a little bit of static there, so I didn't know if it was on my end or on another end there. So I wanted to give that as far as that is concerned. I do want to say, though, that there are what we call micro-lenders that are in a lot of your areas that will give small business loans. And the qualification may not necessarily be the same as going to maybe like a Chase or Comerica. The interest rate may or may not be a little higher, but they will do what's called microlenders, means if you need anywhere between, let's say, $5,000 to $50,000, the loan qualification time and documentation can be a lot less. So if you will just type in, if you go to Google and type in micro lenders and then just say micro lenders, period, or micro lenders and then put in your city or state area, those should kind of come up there to kind of help you out with the startup financing. Just keep in mind that no one will finance 100% of your business. They're going to be looking for some type of owner's injection. So just make sure that you keep that in well. The other that was asked to me was, there was a question about, let's see here, FICO scores. If you were looking for bank lending, it's going to depend on.
Sherry?
Yeah, I think we lost Sherry. Okay. I'm sure she'll
really
be joining us. Yeah. Definitely. Go ahead.
I know you've had experience in terms of working with her. Well, what has been some tidbits and ways that she's helped you?
Mm-hmm. We actually do have Sherry back on the line. Sherry?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I guess I was talking too much and you guys bumped me off and that was your way to shut me up. I'm sorry. I'm done now.
No, you were on a roll, and we were like, "Uh-oh, we lost Sherry." You were so fired up, you burned up the line.
Might have been that I told people there were no grants, so they're like, "Okay, well, let's just bump her off there."
No, never.
Okay. So I don't know how much you guys were hearing about what I was talking about there about the micro lenders. The other question that I saw was asking about FICO scores, and what I was saying is it all depends on where your lender's going to go. I mean, what type of lender you're looking for. If you're looking for someone like a Chase or a Comerica, that's what's considered what they call A paper. And so they are looking for higher credit scores. They're probably looking at 720 or above as far as lending is concerned. I will say as a startup, a lot of times your best bet could be a Chase or something if you've got multiple accounts with them already. But your funding companies, or what I want to say is your capital companies, like a Capital One, a GE Capital, what they're doing is they're lending you their money. It's not necessarily a bank. So it's private money. So they are the ones that are making that decision. So it's not necessarily a big board where they've got to go and they've got to do all kinds of votes and that kind of thing. You belong to a credit union. A lot of times credit unions are a little more lenient on loaning money if you've got a current checking account or a mortgage. So you may try something of that nature. Also to your micro lenders, again, because they're loaning such small amounts, will probably go down as far as 585 on the FICO scores. Again, the lower your score is, the higher the interest rate is going to be, but it's certainly a way to do it. And if it's not a large amount that you need, it's certainly a way to do that. I work with one in the Texas area. It's called Axion. And Axion goes as low as, at one point in time, it was 565. I think they're back up to 585. And they let you know that the interest rate is a little higher, but what it does is it gets you in the door, and after a year of good payments, you can always go back and refinance. You know, so there's always more than one way. I always say that more than one way to skin a cat, if you will, on that. So that would be a, it could be some options there for you for financing.
Excuse me. Awesome. Sheriff, if you want, I wanted to ask a question that has to do with what you're speaking of right now in terms of the financing.
Okay.
What about individuals that have a negative net worth? Because I know I was looking at a business venture about 6 months ago. Excuse me. And then one of the challenges that I was running into is when you look at your net worth, and especially if you own property, and we know what the real estate market is looking like right now, most people are paying more for a home that's not even worth half of what they may be paying for, and so it affects your net worth. How do you suggest, you know, individuals go about obtaining financing with having that challenge?
To be honest with you, the net worth, your personal net worth is important, but it's not as important as people think. Because of the whole real estate, they don't look at your real estate. They look at cash flow. So even though you may have a negative net worth, maybe let's say you're upside down in your house at this point in time, what they're going to be looking at is, do you have enough cash flow to keep your mortgage payment going and keep your bills going? So they're going to be looking more at that than they are at looking at whether your net value, you know, your what kind of cash equity that you have in the house. Because I'm going to be honest with you, they don't look at that anymore.
Okay.
So don't let that be a deterrent, because they won't give you equity on a house anymore. And especially only if you're in what they call a homestead state, which is like Texas and Florida and California, where, you know, you can file bankruptcy and your house stays pretty much the same and it's protected and that kind of thing. So don't let that be a deterrent. What they are going to look at, I will tell you, is if you're looking for financing, is they're looking for, do you have enough money coming through your household in whatever various ways, enough money coming through the household that you don't need the business loan money to pay for personal things. That's what they're looking at.
Okay.
So, you know, because a lot of times, and what had been happening was people were going in because it was easy to get a business loan because they had lost their job. And instead of taking that money and starting the business, they paid their mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
It was time to pay for the loan. They couldn't. And a lot of times those old business loans, there was no collateral in it. So they had nothing to collect on because they weren't pledging it against the house. So let it be more of, if you're really serious about starting a business and you're looking for financing, don't go to the shopping center and open up a department credit store charge, because they're going to give you 10% off your purchase. Because they're looking at your debt, and let's say you have 5 credit cards and it's a total of $5,000 in credit limit and you don't have anything on those credit cards. What they're going to look at is, and I'm going to be frank about this, they're going to look to see if you lose your mind tomorrow, you go out and charge everything up, do you have the ability to pay those loans, pay those credit cards, and pay the business loan? So they're looking at cash flow more than anything else.
All righty. Well, ladies and gentlemen, again, you're listening to Mind Shift Talk Radio with Stacey Emery and Juanita's sister, Big Bones Warren. Tonight we're joined by the business plan lady, the small business expert and resource, Ms. Sherry Darden, and she's answering all of our questions and giving us some phenomenal information on how to get started with your business, you know, from choosing a name to working on the business plan and getting some money. And we all need money to start our business. So thank you, Sherry. You're sharing some great information with our listeners, and I really hope that people are taking the time to take notes. But if for some reason you're unable to at this time, feel free to go back and check out the replay online at mindshifttalkradio.com. Also, you can connect with Sherry at thebusinessplanlady.com. All right, Sherry, I know I have more questions. Juanita, do you have any questions before I go ahead with another one?
Are you taking one from the chat room?
No, I actually had one that was emailed to me. So you can go ahead with one from the chat room. Let's go with our chat room folks.
One question is how to determine what to pay for business consulting. Like how much should you pay for business consulting that really works? Like what percentage of a budget is a good number?
Okay. you're going to hate my answer, but it's going to depend. And here's what I mean. It depends on what you want that business consultant to do for you. I have different levels of coaching and consulting that I do. And I want you to really be clear about what you're asking them to do. If you're asking them to coach you, think about a coach out there on the field. You're going out there doing the work, and you're just checking in with them to see if you're up to par. A consultant is going to do a little more hand-holding. So in that instance, the cost is going to be a little more because a lot of times they're holding your hand and they're actually doing work for you. And again, it's going to depend on what you want them to do. If you're wanting them to, let's say, do a business plan, it's going to depend on how detailed you want the business plan. It can range anywhere between, let's say, $500, which is going to be a real simple one. And if you're looking for a full-blown business plan, that's like they may be 20 pages with financial statements and market research, that kind of thing, that can run you a couple of $1,000s. You know, when I do market research for clients, it may take me sometimes 2 to 3 days just to find one simple answer because it may not necessarily be just as quick as Googling something. If you're talking about a good budgeting number, I would go ahead and say if you're talking about trying to forecast things, if you're looking to work with a consultant, let's say, on an ongoing basis, and you're needing them to do business plans, let's say financial projections, looking at your financial statements and giving you feedback, making sure that your taxes are paid on time, all of these things are a little on the consuming side. I would say that that's going to range you, depending on how much involvement they're going to do, anywhere between $250 a month, maybe up to about $700 a month. Again, just depending on what they are going to be doing for you. Here's what I'm going to suggest. When you find a consultant, you want them to truly map out what they're going to do for you. Let it not just be a verbal. Let's have them map out, do a laundry list of what that $250 up to $750, $800 a month is going to entail. How many phone calls is that going to get you? How many emails is that going to get you? How many financial reports? How much research? What you are paying for. So the more details you can get them, the better. And I would also choose that you will want to at least do that on a trial basis. I have people who want to get into a long-term relationship where they want to sign up with a 6 months consulting because they maybe want a price break in that. That's not something that I offer on a long-term basis. Try somebody out for 30 or 60 days before you get into a long-term relationship that you're paying a lot of money up front. You know, there's really nothing. I learned from one of my mentors that there's really nothing you should be getting into a long-term relationship with at the beginning. Have these people prove to you that they are actually doing what they say, and it's a good fit. I mean, I've had clients that are, it's just not a good fit. There's nothing wrong with them, nothing wrong with me, just not a good fit. You know, so you don't, you know, so anyone who's worth their weight in salt should be willing to do a 30-day or 60-day contract with you.
Awesome. Okay. All right. Thank you to Junior in the chat room for these phenomenal questions. Okay. And you see he had a special shout out for you, Sherry.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much.
That is awesome. Now, the one I have is about franchises, and it's asking, what are your thoughts about going into a franchise to start your business? What are the pros and cons of going into a franchise?
All franchises are not created equal. There are some really good ones. There are some really bad ones. And one of the good things to do is if you're going to need financing, and most of them you do, they have some really low-cost ones like janitorial services that maybe only need a couple of $1,000s to get started, call your bank and see if they're willing to lend. The reason why I say that is there are some that are so restrictive as to what you can do that they really aren't a business. You're really an employee. I mean, they dictate everything down to the letter. You know, who you can hire, how you hire, your hours of operation, how you market, all of that stuff is you're really just a glorified employee, if you will. And so a lot of times the Small Business Administration will not guarantee a loan because it's not entrepreneurship. The pros of a franchise is it's structured. You know, if you are someone who needs a lot of structure, and there's nothing wrong with that, you want an option to start a business that takes the guesswork out of things because you're buying a process. That's what a franchise is. A franchise, you are buying into a process that they've tried and it works. So you do have that guesswork taken out for you. If you have a national franchise, a lot of times your advertising is done for you. If you notice, you very rarely see a local McDonald's advertise for themselves. That's part of your franchise fee. It goes into the parking. It goes into all of the legal stuff. So that's the good side about it. Bad side is if you're one of those people that just needs to be free and needs to be artistic and, you know, do your own rhythm to your own drum, franchise is probably not for you because you are buying a process and you're also buying the privilege to use their tried and true name. So with that being said, they are going to be slightly structured. You know, when you open up a McDonald's, you have to be open during their hours. I always tell people and you also have to look at your franchise and see how it equals your lifestyle. One of the things that I love about Chick-fil-A is not open on Sunday. It's a Christian business, so if it's important for you on your personal lifestyle to be home on Sundays, to be with your family, then choose something like a Chick-fil-A. Don't choose a Wendy's that's going to be open 7 days a week and then their drive-thru is open until 2 a.m. If you buy a Wendy's franchise, you will be open at 2 a.m. It's not your business. You're buying the franchise. You will be open when they tell you to be open. So those are kind of some pros and cons to think about. Think about that. Sometimes financing is easier with franchises because, again, it's a proven model that it's profitable. So that can be another pro as far as the franchise is concerned.
Okay. So it's just making sure that it fits into your lifestyle.
Absolutely.
Well, goodness, time is just like flying by. So we only have a few minutes, Sherry. I don't know, what are your closing thoughts or maybe one more question or something you want to share before we have to wrap up in about 5 minutes?
Okay, here's what I want to say to you guys as far as a startup or an existing business is take the time to know your customers. Take the time to know your customers. What do your customers look like? Let's think about your ideal customer. What do they look like? Where do they go? What do they buy? Why do they buy? And here's what I mean by that. If you're selling to someone, if you're trying to sell a luxury product, then you need to be selling to someone who is buying because they are trying to satisfy a desire. If you're looking for, let's say, a Walmart-type customer, nothing wrong with them, you're selling to satisfy a need. If you're trying to sell to a Nordstrom customer, you're selling to a desire. You're selling to a desire that I want to make sure that when I walk down the street, I don't see four or five other people with my same outfit. When you hone in on who your customer is, that's going to help you price your product. If you're looking for a Walmart customer, you got to know your price. If you want a Nordstrom customer, you got to know the price. If you're trying to go after a Nordstrom customer, you can't charge something for $9.95. You can't say, I want a Nordstrom or I want a Saks Fifth Avenue customer and then charge $6.95. You're going to confuse them. because it's all about perceived value. So think about who your customer is. Know where they are. I'll call them a Walmart, Macy's, or a Nordstrom, kind of whatever arena, whether it's restaurant or whether it's retail, whether it's coaching services, it's entertainment, who that is, and make sure that your product, your price, your placement, and your promotion matches. You don't see Walmart advertising to a Nordstrom crowd, and you don't see Nordstrom advertising to a Walmart crowd. So know who your customer is and go after that customer. The more targeted you are in your customer base and how you price your products, everything, the more successful you're going to be. You can't be the jack of all trades. Walmart's not the jack of all trades. Nordstrom's not the jack of all trades. So the more specific you are, the better you'll be and the more confident you're going to be. So that would be kind of my parting words, if you will, on that. So whether you're existing, know your customer. Know who they are. Take time to figure out who you want to go after. There's no right or wrong. You get to choose. You absolutely get to choose.
Definitely. It makes sense. Well, Juanita, what do you think? What are your final thoughts?
It's over? That's it? So many questions. I guess what next? So we've had the call. We're going back listening to the replay. Now what?
Now what is get started. Make a choice. Make a choice about, again, who your customer is. What do you want to sell? We had the gentleman saying that he wanted to do a seafood restaurant. He's made a choice. Now figure out, again, who do you want your customer to be? Do you want it to be a very relaxed crowd? Do you want it to be a linen crowd? And then make sure, if that's the crowd you want to go after, now pick your location. I really want to start by saying, figure out who your customer is. When you figure out who your customer is, everything else will fall into place. Because what's the old saying? You know, if you fall for anything, you know, you have to know who you want to go after. When somebody, and here's something else I guess I can say with this. When somebody says your business name, what do you want them to think? When somebody says your business name, what do you want them to think? And when you have that in mind and think about your customers, do they mix? Because if you want somebody to say, well, when they say my business name, I want them to think Nordstrom's, I want them to think Saks Fifth Avenue. Okay, that's great. Then what kind of product are you going to be offering that screams Nordstrom's or Saks Fifth Avenue? Then that's going to help you figure out what it is that you need to offer. It's going to help you with the price. So, again, with all of those things, it kind of falls into order. Here's what I would like to do, because I know we've got some people that were asking, you know, what's the pros and cons of franchise and what kind of business, that kind of thing. If they will email me, if they'll go to my website, thebusinessplanlady.com, I'm going to email them a profile test. And through answering those questions, it's going to help them get a little better fit of whether they need to do a brick-and-mortar store, be a solopreneur, whether a franchise is good for them, and I think that will help them get started. There are lots of things that you can do. You know, you can work with someone like myself. I do online coaching. I do virtual coaching. I've actually got a coaching product where it's self-paced. You go on, you have a log-on. You'll get audio, you'll get video, that kind of thing, and kind of take you through the whole startup that we've been talking about here. Another thing that you can do is wherever you are, there are centers called the Small Business Development Centers. They offer free counseling. They offer free workshops that will work with you in more detail about stuff that I'm talking about. I spent 10 years with the Small Business Development Center, so that's a great resource to start. If you just need to get started and go, Sherry, where do I need to go? You know, email me and I'll try and figure it out and kind of steer you in the right direction, whether it's a worksheet or a workshop or an audio. I'll help you get started because that's what I do. That's what I do. So start with an SBDC, figure out where you want to go, and we will go from there.
And go to SherryDarden.com.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for joining us again, Sherry. It's always an honor and a privilege to have you on Mindshift Talk Radio. Definitely appreciate you being here and sharing a wealth of information with our listeners as well as with us. Thank you.
Absolutely. It's time.
Awesome. And thank you to all of you that are tuning in, listening online as well as by phone. We thank you and encourage you to join us every Monday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Pacific. Make sure you join us next week for another phenomenal guest. Mr. Josh Hines will be joining us, speaker, author, entrepreneur. His saying is, it's your life, live big, and he's going to be joining us next week with some more phenomenal information and another dynamic message that you don't want to miss. So make sure you're here. Join us, Stacey Emery and Juanita's sister, Big Bones Warren. As always, we encourage you to have another phenomenal, amazing, mind-shifting week, and we hope to see you in the chat room next week. Be blessed. Talk to you soon. Good night.
Good night.
Mind Shift Radio.